on our continuing discussion of how to create a Garden of Graces, a Catholic culture, it is now time to take up the question of scripture study. It has been my experience with the various catechetical situations I've been involved with, whether that's been RCIA, or Bible study, or study of myself. Always that first, not always, but it just seems so likely that that first brush is that you're going to want to go into scripture. And it is, you know, ignorance of scriptures, ignorance of Christ, as Jerome would say. So scripture becomes a huge part of this idea of forming a Catholic culture. Yes, you have your friends around you, you have community, you have a community of believers, but sacred scripture. And I just need to be real clear out with the outset that there's no such thing as an ecumenical Bible study. It's just not a real thing. And what do I mean by that? That I mean that if you're a Catholic and you're in a Protestant Bible study, you will be missing some of the riches that is there in the scriptures that you wouldn't have if you were to be in a solid Catholic one. And what we'll go ahead, the big one would be communion, you know, the Blessed Sacrament, the real presence, or you can confession, mm-hmm. or anointing of the sick with the last rites and viaticum, our love of Our Lady, the notion of purgatory. I mean, it's just not going to be there. It's not going to be there. That's just not part of their makeup. I do know that some of you will not have access to perhaps a Bible study with formed Catholics. I know that those things are there. I have sat in on them myself. So maybe during this little segment, we could give you some tips and tricks on how to, if you're part of one of those, that's great, and you can just enhance it. But if perhaps you are in one of those tough places for a variety of reasons, maybe we can give you some pointers on how to go about cultivating a scripture, a life of scripture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can only second what you said there. I think from my perspective growing up, it took a long time, you know, a lot of digging and a lot of pulling of weeds before I stumbled across Lectio Divina. And it's interesting because Lectio Divina, it means divine reading, you know, and this is truly, I think, the greatest of the riches of the way that a Catholic should approach any type of scripture reading per se, and it will only then help to enhance any type of Bible study, you know, actual study of the Bible that would be taken on later. But with the process of Lectio Divina, and it's interesting because the place where this became most tangible to me of all places was when I was teaching my little kids in the atrium, doing the catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And I don't know, Karen, are you familiar with the catechesis of the Good Shepherd?
Yes, but perhaps you should unpack that for those who may not, because it is fabulous. Thank you.
So the catechesis of the Good Shepherd was essentially started by a disciple, a student of Maria Montessori named Sophia Caffaletti. And she had the great grace of being able to be with Maria Montessori as she was doing her studies of the children. And Sophia Caffaletti realized that this was not only a great resource in simply understanding how children interact with the world, but a wonderful mechanism with which to inculcate the catechism into the hearts and the minds of the little children through their natural environment and through their natural wonder with both the created matter and just work, which is play. Their play is their work. And but one of the things that they do with the children And I thought that this was really, really beautiful because it comes back to our imagination and to our memory. Is at some point during the catechesis, during the time that you're in the atrium, it's very quiet. There will be a point where you'll pull the children aside and you will do a small scriptural reading. And one of my favorites is when they, because it's in the very early years, where they introduce the beginning of the Hail Mary, where the angel appears to the Blessed Mother and the Annunciation. And you read that to the child, but you read it once and then you ask the child, what did you hear? Right? What did you hear in that story? And different people will live, the little kids will say, maybe I heard about an angel, or I heard Mary, or I heard that there was going to be good news. But that it's their first impression, right? And then we tell them to be very quiet again, and we read it again to them, and we say, you know, listen, and we tell the story again, we read the scripture again, and then we ask them again, and once again they're able to go into it even more deeply, right? But what is really beautiful after that is after they have gone through the scripture reading twice and unpacked it twice, then we bring out two statues, an actual three-dimensional statue of the angel Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, and an actual three-dimensional statue of the Blessed Mother, and maybe a little house or something. And then we act out the story for them so that they can see what's going on. And so essentially what we're doing through the atrium and through Lectio Divina is first meditating on first thoughts. What is the first inspiration that comes forth for you? And just make a little note of that. Read it again and go a little bit deeper. You know, and then you do that. And then you insert yourself in your imagination. You go back and you try and really visualize what these people would be. So you're really, instead of just doing a surface reading of the scripture, you're really trying to get into the meat and the marrow. And what I really love about the atrium is that when you're reading stories about events that really took place, they use three-dimensional objects to help create the imagination of the child. When it's a story like the Good Shepherd, who was not, it's not really, Jesus didn't really go out and put his, you know, find the lost sheep. So in that instance, they'll use a two-dimensional character so that the child can begin to separate in his own mind the imaginative soul and the natural world. And I just really love that. And I think that we as mothers, especially for ourselves too, we really need to be able to cultivate that level of reading scriptures, because it does become real to us. And then when we go and we leave it to do an in-depth study, we will be as if studying a friend, as opposed to studying something that is unknown or unfamiliar to us. I think we really need to fall in love with scripture before we can study it.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. And that deep meditation, that's, you know, the rosary is scripture on beads. You spend, yes, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes, right, on the life of Christ, right, and you just stay with the Annunciation, right? The visitation of Mary, right, and Elizabeth, the birth of Christ, right, the presentation, the finding of Christ, and you just allow that time to stay within your imagination, right, to imagine yourself in that situation. What is the angel? What is my role? All of those important questions, because you're right. You know, an atheist can study scripture.
Right. As I always tell my children, Satan knows scripture better than you do.
Satan knows better. He can quote it just fine. Right. We don't want to be those people.
No, we don't.
That's not what we're about here.
Right.
Exactly. And that goes back to, right, that personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Right. And it goes back to, who is the church?
Right.
Is she just some rule giver? And if you just check off enough boxes, you can say you're good to go. Is it a do-it-yourself project where, you know, any of them really just much matter? Right. Who is the church? Who is Jesus Christ? And you were talking about how you were a community of believers, you know, all helping the child to understand, you know, these rich truths, you know, studying of scriptures like that. You have to be in this community of believer. It's not sola scriptura. If I take the scripture and I would start to read it, I could go off track, right? I need someone to help me bounce off ideas to keep me on the straight and narrow.
Right. I think that that's the great beauty of the roots of our flowers, right? The great beauty is that our roots go so far back. You know, no one has the capacity to live in tomorrow. It's just not there. But God gives us the great grace of, I love how G.K. Chesterton referred to it as the democracy of the dead, right? The people who preceded us, who laid down all of these great, this great body of wisdom for us. There's a lot of freedom in the fact that you don't have to constantly be creating something. You yourself have to create something new. Because our Lord says, no, behold, I make all things new. All that you need to do is to know me, right? I was thinking too, as you said that, just in regards to St. Augustine, and how many times did he think of that one passage in scripture in Romans that had no import to him until that one moment when that scripture became his friend, right? And he was able to embrace the truth that a life lived outside of Christ is not a life worth embracing, even though there seem to be many interesting things out there, you know? But finally, scripture went from being head knowledge to touching his soul. And that's a profound moment, I think, that is not found necessarily in a Bible study, but it can be found through it.
That's very true. That's very true. Well, I guess maybe I could show some of the things through the years. At least this would be more of a historical project, because these were tapes. People may not know what these are.
No, they actually just came back. I just heard cassettes are coming back because of nostalgia. People want Walkman again.
Our dear friend we mentioned from the beginning, how she chose to educate herself was distance learning. Yeah. So that's going back into, I guess, the 40s or 50s. Yeah. That's how you would, you know, if you weren't in a place where you could have access to good Catholic formation, that's how she chose to do it. It was distance education. I did it through cassettes. Right. Through cassettes. Yeah. And here was another one, how to study the Bible. But I had a bunch of these. I'm going to go down memory lane. The Gospel of Matthew, and actually I had the 16 cassettes. I ended up doing a master's course just a few years ago under Tim Gray on the Gospel of Matthew. And a master's course is, the professor doesn't lecture for all 16 weeks. He lectures for a short period of that, and you got to go put it together, right?
Right.
So I was really scrambling to find those cassettes because these were Scott Hahn's. This is a thin one. I have some others up there. But anyway, that's back in the 90s. He was very gracious in having courses down in his basement that he might be teaching at the university. And so that's how I got a bulk of that academic information. But only after, as Sarah noted, that conversion within my soul that, you know, where the Lord fit. And so anyway, I had to go and buy CDs. So they do have them in CD form now.
It's all I can actually now download it onto a UVC thing or something.
And that's right. And so there's someone like a Taylor Marshall now, or I think Church Militant has a library of studies. I mean, there's just...
You're not suffering from any lack of resources right now, strictly a lack of will.
That is the true statement. When you or I stand before our Lord, we are not going to be able to say, like perhaps our forebearers did. I did, you know, where they were just really dependent on the parish priest.
Right.
And how faithful he was in transmitting.
Right.
We don't have that excuse. No.
Yeah, I think that I think that we do have to caution the young mom though that there are so many resources out there. It's like when I started homeschooling, you know, it's a Pandora box. I mean, you can just open it up and all of the wonders of the world can come out at you. But it really is sufficient. You know, when you're first making this trek into the study of the Bible or the study of the Word of God, I think that the church is really gracious in how she provides us the liturgy of the hours. She yes. introduces us, and I like it because it's the songs, right? And how does a mother first talk to her child, right? In rhymes and songs and very easy short little messages, right? And I think that liturgy of the hours is a good place for someone to who has no knowledge, no real founding in scriptures at all, is not aware of the richness that's out there, and wouldn't even know where to begin, right? But the church is very gracious in giving us these little samples, little tiny pieces that we can, and what I really love about the liturgy of the hours is that the hours from like the mid-morning hours where you're really busy and you're crazy, they make you read the same thing three times in a row because they know that you're so distracted at that moment, right? And they give you a little bit more richness in the morning to edify your soul, and they give you a little bit more at night so that you can go to bed on a full stomach, as it were. But I think that that's a really good place to start is in the Psalms. They're gentle. They're easy to memorize. All of us have a favorite one. And then when you are able to read those, then you can start branching out into the more challenging books. But the Gospels, too, obviously, you want to know the story, right? I mean, right there is your story. And people like Scott Hahn, and who's the gentleman who did the lovely history of the Bible?
Jeff Cavins,
yeah. He is a really yes. great resource that just gives you a Bible timeline, kind of put things yes. in a historical perspective. Those are some really easy, gentle resources. And like Karen, these, if you want to find out a good, you know, commentary on any of the Gospels, you're going to be able to find that with, you know, just an easy Google search, you know, Scott Hahn, you know, or even, you know, you can even, I think you can probably even search the Church Fathers now. You know, like, it's incredible. I mean, when we were, I am perpetually astounded at what is out there now, right? I mean, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when we were just young moms starting out, who had access to St. Benedict or to St. Thomas Aquinas really on a daily basis, right? I mean, you had to have the Summa in your hand. Now you just go online and somebody's put the whole thing on there and you can search it so simply. So we're really in a graced moment.
We are very much in a graced moment.